Good to be back. We had a great Christmas Eve service out here. One of the most moving worship services I've been in years. I mean, I was just, and the best part was I was doing almost nothing. I just sat in back and was amazed at the amount of people that were here and just, oh, the Spirit of God just was flowing. It was awesome. It's been an interesting couple of weeks in the Keeble household since we were with you last. Right after Christmas, we packed up and went out to Las Vegas to be with Melissa's family who lives there, and got to open presents for the third time this Christmas season, which made me think, how does this fit in the Advent conspiracy? But one real quick Advent conspiracy story, because this was just made me so happy. This was great. Christmas morning, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, you know, the kids are the first ones awake, and your kids probably aren't like this, but we would always like sneak down before we went to wake up mom and dad and see what was down there, and then we would go wake them up. And then when it was our turn to go down there, you know, we would run in and start separating the presents. Here's my pile. And, you know, start opening the biggest ones first. And you know, our kids have been kind of like that in the past. I mean, I remember when they were three, they would open a present, put it aside, open the next present. And actually, opening presents was the part they liked. It wasn't what was in it. They wanted to open things. It was cool. I didn't know what to expect. So we wake up Christmas morning, and the kids come and get in bed with us, and we actually laid there for like 45 minutes. And the whole time, Melissa and I are like, this is great. And then we go downstairs with them, and Kobe and Maya run to the tree, and they grab the presents that they made for us, and they ran to us. It's here. They were so excited to give presents on Christmas. Melissa and I just like start tearing up, you know, right on the spot. We spent so much time with them together making these presents for the other parent, and the kids were so excited to give us those presents. I mean, that was just probably my best Christmas memory of all time. It was amazing. So anyway, we're in Las Vegas, and Melissa and the kids are still out there. They drove over to Pasadena to visit some of our friends there. And on Thursday of this week, I have a like 6 p.m. flight, and I wake up at about 5 in the morning, my stomach feeling pretty bad, and I've caught the stomach flu, the bug. And so it was a really ugly day. Let's just say by the time I had to leave for the airport, I just didn't have anything left in me. And, brutal airplane ride. I had to specifically request the seat on the aisle, in the back row, right by the bathroom, which had my name on it the whole flight. So I get to land in Bloomington at 2 a.m., and walk outside, and my ears almost freeze. Walk into the car. Get in the car, and we're driving home. Or I'm driving back to Champaign. Where do we live? Champaign. And about halfway home, the heater starts making this noise. And then it stops. I mean, no air at all. So the last half of the way, I'm kind of shivering. Felt great on my flu-induced fever. Get home. And Richard, who has been living in our basement, lets me know that our humidifier has stopped putting water in the air and has instead decided to put water on the floor in our basement. So a nice little flood to deal with on Friday morning. That was really cool. But you know what? In spite of all that, I was really excited to discover that it felt like coming home when I got here. I missed you guys. It's good to be back. Okay, one last Christmas memory to share. Growing up, and this memory will transition us into the new year. Growing up, sometime on Christmas Eve, the city would always, in my hometown, the city would bring out this great big dumpster and park it in the parking lot of the park facility near our neighborhood. And not like a small dumpster. We're talking the great big long one that they have when you do construction, you know, when you build something. And so we would, Christmas Day around noon, you'd start to see cars driving out with their garbage. Now, realize this is like the extra garbage, the stuff that wouldn't fit in your trash can, heading for the dumpster. And by December 26th, this dumpster is overflowing. I mean, you can't even see the dumpster. It's just a mountain of trash from people, the excess, the leftovers, the residue of people's Christmas celebrations. And as we head into this new year, it kind of occurred to me that all this trash that we make at Christmas, maybe it's a pretty good metaphor for our lives. And at a time when so many people are making New Year's resolutions, they're resolving to eat better, to be healthier, to start doing new things, or maybe to stop doing old things. With all this trash in mind, I thought maybe it would be a pretty good idea for us as followers of Christ to think a little bit about our New Year's resolutions. In the passage that Melody read this morning from Ephesians, there's this beautiful idea of God choosing us. Long before he created the world, God had us in mind, it says. He had us in mind, and he chose us to be the objects of his love. He had us in mind, and he chose to make us his adopted children in the family of God. He decided, before he created any of this, to have this relational union with us, this family relationship, this friendship with us. And he chose to make us whole and holy by his love. In the book of Romans, Paul talks about this another way. He says that God chose us so that we might be shaped in the image of Christ. In other words, God's ultimate intent for us is not just salvation. That's a part of it. But God's ultimate intent for us is that we would be more and more in the image of Christ on the inside. God's hope and plan and desire for us is that we would be so aware of and impacted by and connected to the love of Jesus that we would start to look like Jesus in our character. That's God's plan for us. But for us to look like Jesus on the inside, God has to deal with the junk that's already there. So when we talk about our garbage or our brokenness, we have a couple of things in mind. First of all, garbage might be the stuff in our lives that leaves us feeling cluttered or dirty or guilty or embarrassed. It might be the decisions we make, the things we think or say or do that we know aren't helpful. It might be the stuff that damages our relationships with other people, the stuff that damages our relationships with the earth, the stuff that damages our relationships with God. The church has often used the word sin to describe this garbage. It's the stuff we do that we wish we didn't do. It's the attitudes of our hearts that we try not to let other people see. It's our ugly side. We wish it wasn't there, but it is. That's our garbage. In the Psalms, David talks about about feeling overwhelmed. His guilt is too much to bear. That's garbage at its stinkiest. And you know what? We all have garbage. We do. And God wants to deal with it. Richard's going to come up in a second and play a song and invite you to sing along. But before that, we'll have some time of quiet for you to... I just want to invite you to take take a moment to kind of identify some of your garbage. I'm not going to make you stand up and tell us, but take this first minute or so to just think about what's the stuff in your life that you know is garbage, stuff that God wants to deal with. And we'll talk a little more about that. There's another way of thinking about garbage that might be useful, and that's the idea of gifts, actually. Some of our most painful garbage, this kind of garbage, is given to us by others, by the things that others have done or said to us. Some of that never goes away. And you know what? It often gets dragged out in the presence of the gift giver. A lot of times our culture give us these kind of gift trash, our friends, sometimes even our families. Gift trash often leaves memories or scars that we carry with us every day. It includes stuff given to us by others, stuff we didn't ask for, stuff we've never wanted, but stuff that's there nonetheless. And it leaves us feeling confused, broken, exhausted, maybe even crushed. I was a small group leader at a Montreat Youth Conference one summer, and I don't know if you know much about Montreat, but it's one of our denominational conference centers, and they put on these great youth retreats, basically week-long retreats during the summer. And I went every year when I was in high school, and so I was so excited to be a small group leader when I got the chance when I was after college, and we did this activity in our group where we had one of the kids lay down on a big piece of paper on the floor and we traced a silhouette of their body. And then we had the kids one at a time come up and write down words that represented their garbage, their brokenness. It took a little while. Some of the kids, you know, came up and wrote anger, jealousy. One kid wrote, I cheated, things like that. And then there was this girl who'd been sitting there, tears running down her cheeks. And she walked up and she wrote rape down. And everybody in the group instantly realized how broken we can be and how deep our garbage can run. Now the idea in a lot of youth groups, I've seen this done, is you take the pieces of paper, the brokenness, the sin, the junk, whatever, and you take it and you burn it. You put it in a big can and you light it on fire and you burn it as a way of saying, God has dealt with it, it's gone, it's done. But we didn't do that. We flipped the silhouette over and we invited the kids to write down words that represented the opposite of their garbage. That girl wrote valuable. Other kids wrote respected, kind, compassionate, love. I thought that was the perfect way to deal with it, because in truth, our old garbage has a way of hanging around. I don't know about you, but I usually feel like my garbage is just hanging out in a dark corner somewhere, waiting to reappear when I least expect it. I don't often feel like the old is gone. It keeps sneaking back in there. You know what? Maybe a better way of thinking about this is to say, I am a new creation, but the new includes the old. The reason that we chose this concept of garbage to look at how God sees us is because of what we do with our garbage. You may be wondering why there's a can of peanut butter on the table. And we're from California, so it had to be organic peanut butter. You know, truthfully, this jar was a real pain in my backside. I wiped a lot of this peanut butter out of hair, washed it off the table, and you know what? This stuff, when it sits in a bowl or a plate for a few days, you need a chisel to get it off. Frankly, I'm going to be really glad to put this in the garbage. Actually, we'll put it in the recycling. And you know what? Once this is recycled, it could become a lot of things. I don't know, it might become another container that something really precious goes in. Maybe it'll become a toy. Or, who knows, part of an artificial knee joint. This garbage could become something really useful or very valuable. The old becomes the new. The old jar is gone, but the new thing grows out of the old, and it includes the old. In verse 7 of our passage, it says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, because of his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. We're free of the penalties and the punishments chalked up by our misdeeds. God's intent is that we be free of our garbage. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is following Christ, a part of Christ, the old is gone. The new has come. You are a new creation, it says. That's what God wants to do with our garbage. But the old doesn't just go away as if it never happened. The old grows into the new. God's desire for us is that the old, broken, dirty, damaged parts of us would become something new. The memories of our old hurts may never go away. It won't be as if it didn't happen. But it will be that God makes something new out of the old. God grows us into something new, something valuable. And you know what? That's really redemption. Now, there's something important to say here. Redemption is a lifelong process. It's happened. The verse that we read in verse 7, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we are free. It's true. We are free. We are new creations. It's true. In Jesus, our sins are forgiven. But the Christian life is not about that. That's the starting point. The starting point is our decision to be in Christ, our decision to follow Christ. The Christian life is about God continually shaping us in the image of Christ. In fact, there's a passage in, got my pages out of order. There's a passage, let's say 1 Corinthians, Romans. Let's go Romans, where it says, God chose us, I already mentioned this verse, God chose us to be made in the image of Christ. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. God chose us with a purpose, and the purpose is that we would look like Jesus. And that's a lifelong process. Each day, it's the process of saying to Jesus, here's my garbage, make it something new. And it never finishes until we go to be with Jesus. And then we really look like him. So you know what? God's intent for us as people is that we would be like Jesus, that we would look like Jesus on the inside. God's intent for our church is the same thing. Let's be honest. Our church has its share of garbage. Plenty of things that have been done or said or that we've experienced that feel like baggage, weight, garbage, trash. There have been things that have been done or said that have left us feeling ignored, angry, disillusioned, maybe even betrayed. That's life in a human body. But God's intent for us as a church is that we would be able to bring our garbage as a family and say, God, make us something new. And that process never stops. We as a church have this task of continually making ourselves into a people. I said that wrong. Our task is continually submitting ourselves to God so that God could make us into the body of Christ that every day looks a little more like Jesus, who we follow. I guess my hope for this worshiping congregation is that this would be a safe place to bring your garbage. My hope is that this would be a place where you could come as you really and truly are, where you wouldn't have to pretend like I don't have those dark places. Because as long as we do that, we're not giving God the opportunity to make it new. I pray we would be a safe place for us to come and bring our garbage, and a place that safely challenges one another to look more like Jesus. And you know what? We'll do that. We'll find that. We will be that in the way that we worship together, the way that we serve together, and the way that we live life together. Those three things, worship, serving, and living life together, those are what we're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks. Those are going to be kind of the core values of our New Year's resolutions. Who are we? Where are we going? What are we all about? So when we say this morning, our goal is to be more and more in the image of Jesus, what does that mean for us as a church? We as a church staff are really excited about an emerging sense of the answer to that question. And we're going to be talking about that for the next 3 weeks. Basically, what we're going to be doing is saying, we're ready to bring our garbage to the table and invite God to lead us forward. And here's where we're going. I want to strongly encourage you to join us on February 3rd. That'll be the fourth Sunday from today. Might be Super Bowl Sunday. So I promise we'll have a nice short service. Super Bowl Sunday is a lot easier here than in California because it kicks off like right about the time you're singing the second hymn. Time change. It's not fair. But on February 3rd, we're calling that Covenant Sunday. The next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about some of God's covenants with the people of God. And when we say covenant, we basically mean God's agreement, God's promise, and our part to play in that. That's our covenant. It's a pledge, an agreement, a deal. On February 3rd, after we paint this picture of where we're going, we're going to invite you to sign on, or sign off, whatever the saying is. We're going to give you a chance to say, I'm in. We're going to have a big ceremony and actually sign a covenant together. This morning, my invitation to you is simply this. God wants your garbage because God wants to make you into the creation he designed you to be. Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you. We remember Jesus this morning who came to show us God, came to show us your heart, your love, your forgiveness, your embrace. God, thank you that you are not content to let us wallow in our garbage. Thank you that you want to make us into new creations. This morning, God, we open our hands, we open our hearts, and we invite you to come into those dark places. Take those broken parts of us and slowly, day by day, reshape them so that we would look like Jesus on the inside. Help us to take our hands off those parts that we hold so tightly. Help us to not be afraid of you in our lives. And help us to not be content. Give us the courage to grow. And give us an awareness of your love that looks at our garbage and says, I value you. Thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen.